Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Summer weather, summer driving, summer accidents. What do you do if you're in one? Who do you call? The insurance company? A lawyer? The police? All three? Well, we're asking the lawyer about that tonight, and we're opening the line so you can ask your legal questions as well. Andy Betterman with the law firm Greenberg and Betterman is back to answer your questions. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Certainly, you're welcome to tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. And of course, we will be taking as many calls as possible, even after 7:30. Hey, Andy, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Is summer driving the height of vehicle accidents, or do you see more in the winter, or is it kind of a toss-up?
Well, we kind of see accidents all year round, although there tend to be more accidents in the wintertime when the weather's bad, and more in the summer because more people are out and about and on the road.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do when you are in a car accident? Let us assume that this is not a personal injury accident first, but there is just damage to your vehicle and the other, and you're not sure who is at fault. Do we call you? Do we call the police? Do we call the insurance company? What's the deal?
Well, the first thing you do is you don't move your car from its final resting position at the scene of the accident. Safely get out of the car. Talk to the other driver. Make sure everybody's okay. And then try to exchange contact and auto insurance information as best you can. You can call the police, but 9 times out of 10, the police will not write a report if no one was injured. Mm-hmm. But you can call them. So that's what you need to do at the scene. If you're able to drive your vehicle away safely, then do so. And then call your insurance carrier and the other driver's insurance carrier and make a report about what happened. When you call your insurance carrier, they're probably going to want to tape record your statement as to what happened. When you call the other driver's insurance carrier, you have no obligation to let them tape your statement. So if they ask you for your version of the occurrence and they want to tape record, you say, no, I'll tell you what happened, but I don't want a record made. And the reason for that is that that could be used as evidence against you in a trial. And at least in my experience practicing law the last 41 years in the D.C. metro area, in the DMV, if a version of my client's understanding of how the accident occurred, or if the client's going to give a statement about how the accident occurred, I want that to be in deposition under oath in a lawsuit and not in a tape recording given to a claims adjuster for an adverse insurance company.
When should a person who has been in an accident call an attorney?
Well, you can call a lawyer anytime you like. Mm-hmm. In personal injury cases, most lawyers will not take a case that solely involves property damage and doesn't involve injury to the body of the victim, of the person who's calling you. But you're certainly free to call an attorney anytime you like, and most attorneys will speak with you and give you some advice. And if they think they can help you, then they'll offer their services. And if they think they can't, then they won't.
Mm-hmm. What should you expect from an attorney if you have had, let's say you broke your arm, for example, or you may have fractured your thigh bone or something, and you're out of work for a month or so? What, if you call an attorney, should you expect from him or her?
Well, you raise several questions, but in the basic accident case, if you have an accident and you're injured and you call a lawyer, then the lawyer is going to want to try to help resolve several issues that are on the front burner, if you will, that are very, very immediate. One is medical care. Make certain that you get the right and appropriate medical care that you need as soon as possible. The other issue involves lost wages. If you're disabled from work and unable to work, then your lawyer is going to want to try to help you find wage substitutes, whether it's through your auto insurance through your sick leave, through short-term or long-term disability policies that you might have available through work. And then the next big issue, of course, is property damage or the damage to your vehicle. And a capable attorney is going to help you get your car fixed, or if it's totaled, get it replaced. And if you're entitled to be in a rental car, get you into a rental car. One thing most folks don't understand about property damage claims, injury to vehicles or damage to vehicles in car accidents, is that the insurance company is not required to replace your car. And if you have a loan on your car, they're not required to pay your loan off. One would think they should be, but they're not. The law has never been that way in my 40-year career, and I doubt that it will be in the rest of my career. All they're required to pay you is a lesser of the market value or cost of repair. Mm-hmm. So if the cost of repair is less than the value of the car is deemed repairable, and they'll fix it, most often to your satisfaction. If the value of the car is less than the cost of repair, then it's going to be deemed a total loss, and they're going to pay you what they determine to be the total loss value. In many cases, however, cars are overfinanced, and the payoff on the note greatly exceeds the value of the car. And the owner of the car is responsible for payment of that difference. And here's a very important thing for the public to know. When you buy or lease a car, get GAP coverage, G-A-P. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks don't. A lot of folks do, but many still don't. And GAP will cover the difference between the value of the vehicle and the balance due on the note or the lease.
Mm. Which, even if you have to get a new car or a used car on your own, at least you don't have that note out there.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to Andy Betterman with the law firm Greenberg and Betterman. This is our Ask the Lawyer segment. So if you have a question or a comment, give us a call. Let us talk to Ricky. Ricky calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Ricky. What's on your mind?
How you doing? I would like to ask a question. I retained the lawyer, paid the retainer's fee, and she filed a motion to withdraw from the case before we went to court. And in her agreement, it said that she couldn't do that. I would like to know, how could I get my money back from her?
Okay, I gather this is not a personal injury case, correct? It's some other type of case?
No, it's not. It's
okay.
It's another matter pertaining to my mother's, yeah.
Okay, so you have two options here. You could file a lawsuit in the D.C. Superior Court. If it's not a large amount, you could probably file it in small claims, and a judge would decide whether you're entitled to your money back or not. You could also go to D.C. Bar Counsel, and that's the office that regulates and governs the conduct of attorneys in the district, and you can file a bar complaint. That doesn't cost you anything. There's no filing fee. And generally, that might get resolved more quickly than filing a lawsuit. But those are your two options, really.
So you say I can file at the D.C. Bar Association?
You can file a legal complaint, not with the Bar Association. It's called Bar Counsel. If you call the Bar, you can look it up online. Or if you call the Bar Association, they will certainly give you the name and the number of someone to reach over there.
Okay. Ricky, thank you so much. We are talking about personal injury accidents as well as other accidents. What do you do if you have a vehicle accident? And what about, accidents in your home, for example? Or maybe if you have an accident at someone else's home, mm-hmm. which I'm quite sure that is often an issue. We're going to get to that in just a bit. But let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. April, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, April. What's on your mind?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead.
I was in an automobile accident in January of 2018. I got a call from an attorney, said, oh, I understand you've been in an accident, and I'd like to discuss that with you. And I was like, okay, it happened a day or two ago, so how did you get my number? So she went through about the situation. I said, oh, well, that's okay. But thanks a lot. So I decided to reach out to a firm that helped me years ago, and I reached out to that particular firm. The dad had died, so the son took the case on a contingency basis.
Right.
And he gave me a list of different medical facilities that he wanted me to go and have therapy, things of that nature, after he evaluated the car and saw the damages to the car. So I went to the therapist, I went to the chiropractor, went to all the medical appointments that I needed to go through per the doctors, and provided the attorney with all my lost wages. And it's been since January, and he will not return any calls.
So what's going on there?
And then I've been off without pay ever since.
Right. Well, what you need to do is you need to call his office or email him or write him or all three and say, look, if I don't hear from you within the, you know, within a fixed period of time, give him a week at the most, then again, I'm going to go to bar counsel. Bar counsel is the part of the district government that regulates the conduct of attorneys and in certain cases has the right to take away your license for a brief period of time or forever. And most lawyers practice in fear of that office, especially the D.C. Bar Council office, because they do a pretty good job keeping an eye on the conduct of the attorneys in the district. But that's really your only recourse. Either that or you...
I've called multiple times.
I beg your pardon?
I've called multiple times.
Okay, so what I'm suggesting is then you send him a letter, okay, and you tell him. I don't know if you threaten to go to Bar Council, but you send him a letter, a certified letter, or if you have his email address, email him and say, look, if I don't hear from you by 5 p.m. on June 30th, then I'm going to file a complaint with Bar Counsel in D.C. That will get his attention, I'm sure. You could also discharge him, right, and go to someone else.
Now, how would you discharge an attorney?
You simply write a letter to the attorney saying that I fire you as my lawyer, and I want you to mail me a copy of my file, all right? So that's the other thing you could do. The only problem with that is that a fired lawyer may make a claim for compensation for the work that he or she did while he or she represented you. Generally speaking, when that's done, your new lawyer will work it out with the old lawyer. So now that I think about it, maybe the best course of action for you is to fire him, demand a copy of your file. And if you don't get a copy of the file within a week, then you go to bar counsel.
And usually you would get some response.
Generally speaking, most lawyers don't want to have their name spoken of in bar counsel's office.
Okay. April, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. April just mentioned something called contingency. What is that?
So injury cases are handled on what's called a contingent fee basis. And what that means is that payment of an attorney's fee to the attorney is contingent upon the attorney recovering money for you. So when you hire a lawyer on a contingent fee basis, you never have to pay a dime out of pocket under any circumstances. When the case is won, then your lawyer will take as his or her fee the agreed upon percentage of the recovery. It's usually a third if the case is resolved without filing a lawsuit, 40% if you have to file a lawsuit. So that's a contingent fee. The beauty of that is that it levels the playing field and makes the courts available to everybody.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is our Ask a Lawyer segment with Andy Betterman with the law firm Greenberg and Betterman. If you have a comment or a question, even after 7:30, please give us a call. If you're having difficulty getting through, I promise we will take your phone calls. Please keep trying. Ray calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Ray. What's on your mind?
Yes, I wanted to ask him what has happened with substitution of collateral, because you speak of gap insurance, and generally you would want a person to save money. And the substitution of collateral back in the old days was the attorney asking the insurance company to find an automobile of like mileage, color, and basically the same model, so that they could be put back in the same position they were put in, you know, as a result of a negligent driver.
Well, yeah, what is substitution?
I have to tell you, ma'am, I've been practicing law around here since 1978, first on the other side, representing insurance companies for 4 years, and then representing victims since 1982. And I have never, ever seen an instance where that has occurred.
Mm.
I've never seen it, no.
Yeah, I was curious because we've actually done it. When I first started practicing law, we actually did a few substitution of collateral because the people were, like you said, they had the situation where they had a high interest rate on the vehicle, And so had they just taken the money there for the sake of bad English, they would be in a worse position.
I understand. I have to say I've never seen that occur in a property damage claim arising out of an auto accident in my career.
Okay.
And nor have I ever had an insurance company offer it. So, I mean, if that happened, and you say you practice law, you happen to be a lawyer?
I've been for 28 years in D.C.
Oh, well, good for you. Well, you know, I've learned something, but I seriously doubt that I've never seen it happen, never heard of it. And I certainly carriers don't mention it these days. And they don't see that as their responsibility under the property damage law.
Right.
Well, no, it goes through the lender, not through the insurance company.
Oh, okay, so I don't really, I misunderstood you then. That's a different situation, and that's really up to the victim and the lawyer. I mean, not frequently, but from time to time, lenders will switch the balance due on the note to a new car if it makes economic sense. But I've never seen, none of my clients have ever told me about a lender doing that either.
Interesting. Ray, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is the Ask the Lawyer segment. We have Andy Betterman with the law firm Greenberg and Betterman. He's answering your questions about personal injury, accidents, and the like. If you have a question, give us a call. I'm going to go to a break in just a bit. Andy, for those who are trying to reach out to you and your firm, where might they find information on the web?
GBLawyers.com.
GB Lawyers.
G for Greenberg, B for Betterman, lawyers.com is our website.
GBLawyers.com. Okay, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Dawn calling from D.C., Pamela calling from Upper Marlboro, Pam calling from Silver Spring. We're going to talk to you as well. Lines are still open again at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM in just a few seconds. Stay with us.
Can I pull my nose now?
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're back with the Ask the Lawyer segment with Andy Betterman with the law firm Greenberg and Betterman. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dawn calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Dawn. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was involved in an accident earlier this year. I was driving to work past a construction site, and a scaffolding broke, fell 9 floors from a major construction company. Thank God it fell on the hood of my car and not the roof or anything, but it totaled my car, broke the engine block, everything. Well, my question, I guess, is I've only called 2 attorneys, and when I tell them the story, they're like, oh, you have a great case, but I wasn't injured. Other than trauma and stress. I did go to the hospital, did everything, lost wages and everything. I do have an attorney in my family that kind of just told me what I could do as far as reaching out to get reimbursed. And I want to know, is this something that you think I should press further? Because I did send a letter to the construction company. They told me they were liable, but they referred me to, I think, the scaffolding company who is supposed to take responsibility. So I'm just kind of concerned. I'm kind of walking through the process myself. I don't really know what I should be doing.
Okay. Have you reached out to the scaffolding company?
I did. I sent them the same information I sent to the construction company and asked them you know, to respond with, I gave them the police report, the damage right. to my car, everything.
Well, the scaffolding,
and I have not heard back from them.
What the scaffolding company needs to do is to put you in touch with their liability insurance carrier. So if it were me, I would call the scaffolding company and speak to the president of the company or the risk manager if they have one and see what's going on. Obviously, they've gotten your letter with the attached documents. They simply need to notify their insurance carrier, which they may have done already, and then put you in touch with that person so that you can move the claim ahead. As far as your car is concerned, did you have collision coverage?
I did. I had everything. My insurance company totaled it right on the scene. The
okay.
engine fell out.
So the property damage claim is...
They paid me for yeah. the car.
Okay. So that part of the case is taken care of.
Yes.
As far as your injury is concerned, you went to the hospital once. Is that right?
I went to the hospital, yes, on the scene.
And you're okay now?
I'm okay. I just have post-traumatic stress.
Right.
You know, I'm just praying on that.
I understand. Unless you see a therapist, though, that probably wouldn't be part of the claim.
Okay.
You know, because there needs to be, generally speaking, medical documentation of every aspect of your injury. So the best thing for you to do is, like I said, call the scaffolding company, speak to the person in charge, and see what's going on. And hopefully they can put you in touch with the liability insurer and you can deal with them. If not, call me at my office and I'll call for you. How's that?
Oh, I love you. I worked with you before and I can
okay.
say you are the most reputable firm.
Well, thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
God, I've ever had to work with. Thank you so much.
Appreciate
I'm glad
it.
I got through today.
Okay, take care now.
Dawn, thank you so thank much you. For your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. And just listening to Dawn's situation, you know, forgive me for thinking that common sense would play a part in something like that, but I was thinking that if I'm the scaffolding company or the construction company and someone's car was totaled and she walked away from something that a few more feet probably would have killed her, to me, that I would rush to say, what kind of new car would you like? can we settle this in a week? Can we just get this done? Why do you suppose there's that kind of delay, for lack of a better term?
I like to see the best in people
mm-hmm.
and the best in companies. So I would think they're just they just don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to handle this, or they think that if they just basically ignore, it'll go away.
Mm.
So I can't tell you. I mean, I've encountered all sorts of corporate behavior in my career,
mm-hmm.
some good and mostly bad. But if you get in touch with the right people, then you can make things happen. And I generally just go right to the top. I'll call the president of the company
mm-hmm.
and say, look, you got a problem here. You need to address it.
Yeah. I mean, again, it just seems to me, as they say, it just seems too much like right to just say here.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. Well, we certainly wish her good luck, and I'm sure she'll be reaching out to you. Let's talk to Pam. Pam, calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Andy. I have a question. I was involved in an accident. They assumed liability, the company. I went to physical therapy because when you get in an accident, you have to use your medical, and then I guess they reimburse you, and I went through my PIP. So the company trying to, I don't think I'm being treated right. The PIP came to a little over, the medical part came to a little over $4,000. I went a couple, like two to three months. And so now they're trying to just give me $1,000 for pain and suffering and pay my medical, which I told them they're not paying me. They're giving me something I already paid for through my PIP. So mm-hmm. they're trying to act like that's a part of it. You know what I mean? And I'm like, no. So I told them I was going to hire a lawyer. So I don't know if y'all going to give your phone number out or not. But, everything's already done. It's just us coming up with a settlement.
My office phone number is 301-589-2200.
One more time, please.
301-589-2200. And it sounds to me like they're treating you like they treat most people who are unrepresented. They try to take advantage of your lack of knowledge, lack of experience, and so on, to their advantage. So it's really difficult for me to evaluate your case based on the certainly over a microphone from a radio station without seeing the information that you have. So if you want to call my office, and someone, either I or someone on my staff, can certainly talk to you further.
Also, the information, as always, will be posted on our website on WHUR.com after 8:30 tonight. But please, Andy, continue.
But, you know, nonetheless, PIP is different than liability, as I'm sure you know. PIP is a first-party benefit that you chose to buy and that's available to pay your medical expenses and lost wages up to the limit of the coverage, which in Maryland is a minimum of $2,500 and a maximum of $10,000. So they really have no right to try to use PIP to your detriment, because PIP is something, it's like icing on the cake that you decided to buy. And they should pay you fair compensation based on your medical expenses, your lost wages, and your injury and your recovery therefrom. But again, either I or my staff be happy to look it over for you and tell you what we think.
Okay. Pam, thank you so much for your phone call. One of the things that often happens, and you alluded to this just a few moments ago, if you are in an accident and you get a call from the insurance company that of the offending party, whether it's a car accident or homeowners insurance or whatever, and they offer you a settlement, how do you address that?
If they offer you a settlement, generally you should say no.
Why is that?
Because, and certainly within the first couple weeks after an accident, you say no. Once you resolve your case, it's over forever. All right, that's the bottom line. And since that's the rule of law, if you will, it's best to know that you are fully recovered from whatever injury you suffered from an accident or in an accident prior to resolving your case. If you resolve your case before you're recovered from your injuries, it's kind of like a doctor trying to diagnose an injury without having all the medical evidence, all right? You just really don't know what your damages are. Unless you know what your damages are, you don't know what the value of your case is. And liability insurers, auto insurers, are very well known for offering accident victims small sums of money immediately after accidents so that they can get them to sign a release, get the victim to sign a release and be done, and wipe the case off the books. Mm-hmm. And I spent much of my legal career in D.C., since 1978, making sure that folks don't do that, don't fall victim to that, don't get taken advantage of.
Okay. Let's go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Pamela, calling from Upper Marlboro. Thanks for calling, Pamela. What's on your mind?
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a job where I use my personal vehicle. I do a lot of home visiting, and I haven't given it any second thought. We ride co-workers in our personal vehicle. Wanted to know, is that safe to do? And if so, is there a particular type of insurance I should make sure I have in my vehicle on my vehicle?
So you work for this company or you're an independent contractor?
No, I work for the company.
So you're a full-fledged employee?
Yes.
And you get compensated for mileage and all that?
Yes.
Using your car? And so when you're driving, you're on the job. Is that right?
Yes.
And you have passengers with you. It's probably best that you talk to your auto insurer and ask them whether you need commercial insurance. I'll give you a common example. Lyft and Uber drivers, many of them, and I represent a lot of them, have no clue whatsoever that their personal auto insurance will not cover claims that they make or claims that are made against them if they have an accident when they're driving for money, right? Because
right.
they haven't told their auto insurer that they're using their car for business. And if you're doing that and don't tell your auto insurer that, then there could very well be a coverage problem, which would mean there may not be any insurance coverage for an accident that happens.
So even if you are a state employee, it's not a private company; it's the state.
Again, you need to talk. You need to. It doesn't, at least from my perspective, doesn't matter whether it's private or public. Okay. I would urge you to speak to your auto insurer and explain to them exactly what you do and what you need to do to be fully protected in the event an accident occurs when you're on the state's business and you've got passengers in the car.
Hmm. I see. Okay.
But to that point, if you are working for a governmental agency, but driving your own car and transporting other people, should she ask whether or not the agency that she works for compensate her or pay, you know, if this means that her insurance premium is going to go up an extra $15 a month, mm-hmm. should she ask whether or not the state agency would pay for that?
Definitely ask the state. Excuse me, but I think you ought to talk to your auto insurer and also to the people you work for. This is probably not the first time this question has arisen for them.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Now, if you're working for the state and you have an accident, then the state may also be liable for any injury that you may cause to to someone else or to the passenger in your car. But I think, at least for me to sleep well at night, I would want to speak to my auto insurer to make sure that I am fully insured on my own, so that I'm totally protected in the event something happens.
Pamela, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tracy, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Tracy. What's on your mind?
Yes. I'm calling because I had an attorney, a medical malpractice case. The attorney was about to file, but unfortunately he died right before the filing, but he had the case all put together. His partner gave it to me, told me be careful who I give it to. This woman attorney, I gave it to her. She took the case, but then she told me she was bringing in another attorney to assist her. They dragged their feet. I told them when the statute date was. They kept arguing me down it wasn't. Well, they missed the statute date. And so then I went to the bar council, and I reported them. And the bar council held me for 3 years, switching specialists and put me off, and I'm constantly calling them. And at the third, right after the third year, he told me to sue the attorney. But at that point, the statute had even ran out to even sue the attorney. So how do we prevent this from happening from people that don't know the law when it comes to the bar counsel and the term for suing attorneys for misrepresenting or missing statute date?
So this happened in Washington, D.C.?
Yes, and the woman come to find out that took the case originally wasn't even a medical malpractice attorney.
Okay, has it been 3 years since they missed the statute of limitations?
No.
Okay, so the act of negligence on the part of the attorney...
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, they had missed the statute of limitations for filing the medical malpractice case.
I understand that, but when did that occur?
That occurred 5 years ago.
Okay, if it occurred 5 years ago, then you're right. The statute of limitations applicable to your claim against them for failing to file the lawsuit on time has most probably run, because it's 3 years in the District of Columbia. I'm really sorry this happened to you. At least in my office, missing a statute of limitations is a nightmare. That's why it's never happened, thank God. And that usually frightens to death most lawyers, the prospect of missing a statute of limitations. That's why we
carry. Why is it so
because
frightening for them?
It's frightening because, number one, you're going to get sued more or less, more often than not. That's why we carry malpractice insurance. And secondly, I think it's very, very embarrassing. You know, that's basic lawyering. You got to know when the time limit applicable to the case runs so that you file the lawsuit or settle the case within that time period. I wish there was something that I could tell you. You say you filed a complaint with D.C. Bar Council?
Immediately after the appeals, held up the statute.
No one ever suggested to you that you file a lawsuit against the lawyer that made the mistake?
Never mentioned. They kept putting me on hold and telling me they'll get back with me, and then they said that they were giving me another specialist. They gave me the runaround for 3 years.
Right.
And then after the third year,
Tracy, let me make sure that Andy can finish answering your question. Go right ahead, Andy, please.
So the best advice I can offer you and the public is that choose a lawyer carefully. Make sure that the lawyer you've chosen, whether it was the one who originally handled the case, or if that lawyer dies, the other lawyer that you're referred to, But do some research and make sure that that attorney is capable to handle the type of case that he or she now has. Medical malpractice is highly specialized. Not everybody in the district or Maryland or Virginia does it. We do it, but not everybody does. Make sure that you know what the statute of limitations is, what the time limit is that's applicable to your case, so that you can stay on top of that as well and essentially monitor the attorney to make sure that the lawsuit is timely filed. And to know for the future, you know, we all learn from our mistakes, for better or worse. And just know for the future that if a lawyer does make a mistake, the lawyer is as liable as the driver of a car that struck you in the rear. The law is the same.
Tracy, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Something that you mentioned you mentioned earlier as it relates to accidents, and I want to kind of piggyback on this. So it's one thing if everybody's covered, but what if you have insurance and you are hurt in an accident and the other person is uninsured? How do you recover, you know, particularly if that person stays on the scene and the police show up and the like, not if this is a hit and run or something like that, but that person has no insurance, what happens?
Well, that's why you have uninsured motorist coverage. Mm-hmm. Mandatory minimum auto coverage throughout the United States, and especially in the DMV, is liability coverage and uninsured motorist coverage. Uninsured motorist coverage provides that your insurance company will pay you all that you're legally entitled to recover from the driver or owner of an uninsured motor vehicle. An uninsured motor vehicle can mean a vehicle that struck you that is in fact not insured, or a phantom vehicle that flees the scene without being identified. And what happens is your insurance company essentially steps in the shoes of the liability insurance company for a vehicle. Let's say it's a rear-end collision, right? So had that person been insured, then his insurance company would have handled your claim. But if that person is uninsured, then your insurance company essentially steps into their shoes and handles your claim in the same way that his insurance company, had he had one, would have. And what happens is, to sort of level the playing field, if you will, once your insurance carrier pays you, then they seek compensation or reimbursement of what it's paid you from the uninsured motorist.
Mm-hmm. How do you pick a good lawyer if you don't know any, have no association with them ahead of time? Because early in the conversation, a lady said that she was in an accident and an attorney called her. First of all,
That's not legal in D.C. anymore.
Yeah, so first of all, how does that happen?
It still happens. I mean, the council passed a law about 5 years ago that made that criminal. Mm-hmm. It used to be a bad runner problem in D.C.
Bad runner?
Runners were people who, there were people in the Metropolitan Police who would give copies of accident reports to so-called private investigators who were working for lawyers, or with lawyers, not necessarily for them, but with them. And they would get these reports, and they would contact the victims, and they would say, I'm a private investigator, I've got a lawyer for you, right? And that went on for a long, long time, and that was criminalized by the D.C. Council. And notwithstanding that, the practice still continues from time to time, not as much as it did. But how do you choose an attorney? I mean, I think there are really a couple ways to find an attorney. Number one, if you've used one before and know him or her, great, and you were happy. If a family member or friend knows someone they were happy with, great. And in the age of the internet, I find more and more every day that people go online and they look for a lawyer who handles the type of case they have, and also looks at online reviews on Google and other places, Google, Facebook, what have you.
Just like restaurants.
Pretty much, although you find very, very, very few reviews on Yelp, but a lot on Google, mm-hmm. a lot on Google and less so on Facebook. So. And that's what folks tell me, because I ask people when they, if they hire us, I speak to folks from time to time. I ask them, you know, I'm flattered you chose us, but why'd you choose us? Mm-hmm. A lot of folks say, especially younger people, and not so young people, that I went online and I saw the reviews, and the reviews were good, and I've heard about you over the years and so on. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line, a lawyer-client relationship, like any client relationship, has to be one of trust and candor and comfort. And if it's not, then you end it. That simple.
How responsive can you expect or should you expect your lawyer to be once they've taken the case? In other words, again, personal injury accident, you're not at fault. Let's say you're injured, you're hurt, but it's something that may not be permanent. Mm-hmm. But let's say you're out of work for 2 months or something like that. How long should you expect that case to be settled?
Well, every case is different. Mm-hmm. All right, number one. And number two, not every case settles. Well, let me fill in the blanks there. I tell clients in a simple auto accident case where you don't have any fractures, we call those soft tissue cases, a neck strain, a back strain, something like that, with minimum medical care, 4 to 6 months for you to finish your care, roughly, because every case is different. 4 to 6 months for you to complete your care and for your lawyer to obtain all the necessary documentation and then to submit the case to the insurer for possible settlement, right? That's stage one. Stage two is once it's submitted, normally takes 60 to 90 days. Once the insurance carrier has the settlement demand, usually the negotiations take 60 to 90 days. In my practice, only about half our cases settle at that stage. It's up to the client ultimately, but only about half settle because insurance companies are who they are, what they've been for the last 40 years, at least as long as I've been dealing with them. Excuse me, they love to collect premiums and don't want to pay claims.
Mm-hmm.
That's why more and more cases go into suit. So that's typically how the basic cases in my office handle. If the cases involve more severe injury, then that's a different story. You know, you can't attempt to resolve a case until the client has reached what's called maximum medical improvement and been discharged from medical care. If you do that beforehand, then that's legal malpractice, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Are lawsuits tools or when an insurance company or any entity, for that matter, receives one, is that a tool to get them to respond, or is that just or something that attorneys do to let them know that we are indeed serious and we're going to court and that's the end game?
I think it's been publicized that auto insurers flip out when they hear that their insurer has been sued, but that's just not the case in reality. They don't really care. To them, it's a time and money game, so the longer they can hold on to the money, the more interest they'll earn. So they have no incentive to pay you any time before they have to. Lawsuits are filed because people cannot agree.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't agree on compensation, you file suit. Now, commonly, once you file suit, as you get near the trial date, then the carrier will come up with more money, and the case may be resolved. But that's not always the case. Many cases go to trial because folks simply can't agree either on one liability or responsibility or two damages. You asked me one other question about how you should expect, how often you should expect to hear from your attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And in my office, we tell people when they hire us, you are free to reach out to us by phone or email anytime you like. It's really up to you. This is what we call a telephone call, email-free zone. And we will respond to you within 24 hours, and that's certainly the most, but certainly within 24 hours of the time we hear from you. But if we don't hear from you, we're going to reach out to you by email or phone about every 30 to 45 days.
Hmm.
Used to be before the Internet, folks could only reach you by phone.
Right. Or letter. Snail mail, yes.
And I tell people that, you know, the old days of people sitting around the phone getting mad, wondering where Andy is, are over. Because you can reach me so many different ways these days. So that's how my practice operates, and I think a lot of other ones do as well.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to touch on this because we've spoken mostly about auto accidents. But, what if you're helping your best friend around his house and you slip and you fall and you hurt yourself, you fall off the roof because he's...
Right.
Putting tile up or something like that. What do you do? You don't call the police as you would in an auto accident, I'm assuming. But what do you do?
Well, your first comment is quite apt. You don't call the police, but if there's a defect there that's visible, you need to photograph it.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly photograph it before it's repaired. Unlike cars, homeowners insurance is not mandatory. Most folks have homeowners insurance. A lesser number of people have rental. If they rent, they have renter's insurance that provides some of the same coverage protections, but fewer people have that. Let's talk about a home that's owned by your friend and you fall off the roof. Just because you have an accident on their premises doesn't mean they're responsible.
Okay.
You've got to prove negligence, just like you do in the case of an auto accident. In the case of premises, property, you have to show that they knew or with reasonable caution and sense could have known that there was a problem, right? So, for instance, we had a smoke detector case, big one, 30 years ago, 35 years ago. God, it's a long time. And we were able to prove that the owner of – this happened in a large apartment complex. We were able to prove that they knew, actually had direct knowledge that the smoke detectors weren't working. So that's an example. But in the case of a homeowner, if you fall – let me get back to the homeowner's insurance. Generally, there's two types of coverage. One is called guest medical payments, which is kind of like PIP coverage. It's no fault, usually health insurance, not wage loss, but health it's more like health coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And if the homeowner has bought that coverage, then that's available to pay your medical expenses up to the limit of the coverage. And then the policies also provide liability insurance like autos carry. So if you make an injury claim, then that'll be available to compensate you.
Fascinating. One more time for those who are trying to reach out and find you online, Andy.
Greenberg and Betterman, gblawyers.com.
gblawyers.com. This is fascinating to me. You know, I think I can go get my past the bar now. Probably not. Oh, wow. Andy Betterman with Greenberg and Betterman. Thank you so much for talking to us, and hope you have a chance to come back again. This is really, really informative.
Thank you for having me again. Thank you.
That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, channel 141, for this Tuesday, June 18th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection.